All right, thanks for that introduction. How's everyone doing?
Great.
Hanging in there. Okay, great. And thanks for skipping out on happy hour to be with us today. First I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Dr. Colleen Yanchevsky. Per usual, no disclosures. I would, however, like to acknowledge my partners at the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families and Department of Health Services, as well as generous funding from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Okay, I'm going to try to keep this presentation somewhat constrained, given the time constraints that we're under. So I'm going to skip over a lot of methodological detail, also going to probably keep the implication section somewhat brief. So it's going to be somewhat results-driven, if you will. Basic rationale for this study. We all know, I think, in this room, that ACEs are not uncommon, right? We've learned that over the past two decades of research. And we also know well that adverse childhood experiences are associated with an array of poor outcomes, including poor health and mental health. But it's also likely the case that the prevalence of ACEs vary among certain population subgroups. And indeed, the effects of ACEs may vary as well, as Dr. Cunningham's presentation examined. However, there's a surprising lack of research on racial and ethnic differences in the ACE literature. I was actually surprised by this. And in addition, few studies have examined specifically the effects of ACEs on maternal health outcomes. So those are going to be the gaps in the literature that I address today. And I do so with a data set that comes from the state of Wisconsin. We have a sample right now of over 1,100 low-income women who are enrolled in home visiting programs across Wisconsin. And their data are housed in a public health database called SPHERE in Wisconsin. And we have access to an array of data, including adverse childhood experiences. About 5 years ago, we integrated a measurement tool into the regular home visiting practice context to measure exposure to adverse childhood experiences. Today we're going to be looking at sort of the 10 conventional or classic ACEs, right, that were examined in the original ACE study. Five different types of abuse and neglect and five different types of household dysfunction. So I'm going to be looking at the prevalence of those ACEs, looking at how the prevalence may vary among different racial and ethnic subgroups, and then we're going to be looking at the effects of those ACEs on an array of perinatal health outcomes, including prenatal and postpartum depression and perceived stress, so mental health outcomes. We're also going to be looking at some behavioral health outcomes, smoking, alcohol use, and drug use, as well as some physical health outcomes, pregnancy loss, and having a medical condition. So, as I mentioned before, this is a low-income sample. Home visiting programs, almost by definition, target economically disadvantaged women. And you can see that in our sample, that was certainly the case. Oh, formatting's a little off here. I apologize for that. This is going to be fun because this is going to repeat. That should be a little lower for low income. You can see that almost entirely below the poverty line. And you can also see there that this is, a diverse sample of women. A little over a third are Caucasian, a little over a quarter are African American, a little under a quarter are Hispanic or Latina. And we also have a decent sized sample of American Indian women, which will make this more interesting, I think. Okay, so some prevalence data. Oy vey. Okay, I wonder if it's possible, probably not at this point, to fix the formatting. We'll just go with it. The prevalence data that you can see here, I wanted to show you overall prevalence and compare it to what they found in the original ACE study. You all are familiar with the original ACE study. Dr. Cunningham mentioned it before. What you can see, of course, is that the rates are much higher in our sample, and these are the five indicators of abuse and neglect that I mentioned before. They're higher in our sample than they were in the original ACE study, particularly for physical abuse and psychological abuse. You can see those rates are much higher, and I would highlight them, but you can see that the circles are going to be off. So I'm going to avoid that moving forward. Fantastic. Okay, now here are indicators of household dysfunction, five indicators of household dysfunction. And again, here you see even larger discrepancies between our low-income sample of women and the original ACE study. Nearly half of the women in our sample reported exposure to substance abuse in their household growing up. And you can see that, for example, domestic violence rates in our sample were nearly threefold of what they found in the original ACE study. And look at incarceration, nearly six times more likely, more than six times more likely in our sample to have grown up in a household where a family member was incarcerated, nearly six times the rate that they found in the original ACE study. Okay, so again, economically disadvantaged sample, exposed to lots and lots of adversity. But how might these rates of adversity vary by race and ethnicity? Well, let's take a look. Okay, and here's the cumulative rates that you can see here. Again, just summing it up across all 10 categories, again, 85% of our sample was exposed to at least one ACE, and over 30% were exposed to five or more ACEs, much higher rates overall. Okay, so rates by race and ethnicity. Interestingly, we found that rates of emotional and physical neglect were higher among African American women. This comports with the literature that you might find in the child welfare literature. Rates of neglect are indeed typically higher among African American families, the literature would suggest. However, if you look at physical abuse, sexual abuse, and psychological abuse, you can see that our rates are actually higher among Caucasian women, which is somewhat interesting, I think. Okay? Put that as a place marker. Let's move on to our indicators of household dysfunction. Now here you can see that American Indian women report higher rates of substance abuse, household crime, and domestic violence. Okay? And yet we find higher rates of mental illness reported and divorce and separation among Caucasian women. Okay? And then when you sum all of these up, right, you create a total ACE score for those terrible 10 ACEs. You can see that actually the rates of ACEs are highest in our population among Caucasian women. Rates of overall mean rates of ACEs are also very high among Native Americans, and that actually the rates, overall rates of aggregate rates of ACEs are quite a bit lower among African American and Hispanic and Latina women in our sample. I won't speculate as to why now, but if you are interested, we can maybe have some discussion about that later. Now let's move on to some outcomes. Boy, this is unfortunate. What you would see here, well, at least what you can see, is for our mental health outcomes, you can see a robust association. These are odds ratios. You can see a robust association between our 10-item ACE index. We created an aggregate ACE index and all of our indicators of mental health, right? Prenatal depression, postpartum depression, and perceived stress. We also see a little bit of variation by race and ethnicity. We found, for example, that Hispanic and Latina women were less likely to report postpartum depression. However, when we looked at whether the association between ACEs and these mental health indicators varied as a function of race and ethnicity, we found no moderating effects. In other words, we find that the effects of ACEs were fairly consistent across all racial and ethnic groups. Same thing holds true here. We can see that there's a robust association between our ACE index and our behavioral health indicators, our indicators of smoking, alcohol use, and drug use. We also see some racial and ethnic variation in these outcomes. So, for example, African American and Latina women were less likely to report that they smoked prior to their pregnancy, whereas American Indian women were more likely than whites to report smoking. We also see that for prenatal drug use, rates of prenatal drug use were actually higher among African American women and much, much higher among American Indian women. However, again, when we looked at the moderating question, whether the effects of ACEs vary as a function of race ethnicity, we find no differences. Or in other words, ACEs appear to have deleterious effects across all racial and ethnic groups, at least looking at these outcomes. Last set of outcomes, we looked at some physical health outcomes, loss of a pregnancy, miscarriage or other loss of a pregnancy. Again, we find an association between ACEs and this indicator, as well as this global health indicator, having a medical condition at prenatal assessment. This includes an array of health conditions like hypertension, urinary tract infections, stroke, cancer, you name it, right? We aggregated those all up, and we see that there's an association with ACEs. We don't find much racial and ethnic variation, although American Indian women were less likely to report a medical condition. Again, same story here. Find an association between ACEs. We do not find that the effects of ACEs vary as a function of race and ethnicity. There was no moderating effect. Okay? All right, this slide looks good. Some limitations, okay? Some of the same limitations you're going to find across just about any ACE study. Most studies measure ACEs retrospectively and use self-report data. Our study is no different. We also, of course, suffer from a great deal of unobserved heterogeneity, right? There's a lot of things that we don't account for in our model that could otherwise explain what we're seeing. So if we're looking at prevalence, all of our sample is low income, so they're equated on that kind of factor, but there could be any number of other reasons why there were racial and ethnic differences in the rates that were reported. Same thing goes for the effects of ACEs. We're not controlling for a number of other types of factors, genetics, gene-environment interactions, what have you, that could otherwise account for our findings. Lastly, generalizability. This is a fairly selective sample of low-income women in Wisconsin spread across 15 different counties, may not generalize to the broader population. So in conclusion, what do we know? We know that ACEs are prevalent in the general population, but they're particularly prevalent in this low-income sample of women. We found that prevalence appears to vary by race and ethnicity, with Caucasians and American Indians reporting the highest rates, and actually African Americans and Hispanics and Latinas reporting comparatively lower rates. We found, as expected, higher ACE scores were linked to poor perinatal health. But we did not find that the effects of those ACEs varied as a function of race and ethnicity. And I look forward to hopefully discussing those findings with you later on. Thanks.